Hey, what's your problem? You have business problems? We have business solutions. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Life is a fight.
It is.
In business, every day is a fight.
Constantly.
So, hey, what's your problem?
Yes, thank you. John David Wells, big voice guy for the What's Your Problem podcast, coming to you from the Big Dot HQ here in Spring Hill, Tennessee. For anything lighting, electrical, and now heating and air, just go to bigdotinc.com. What's Your Problem is a podcast all about things that make you go, it's always something. It's always something either keeping you up or waking you up in the morning or preventing you from going to sleep. Sounds like fun when you own a business or a business professional and you depend on yourself for your living. Oh, this is a video and audio podcast. I have it in my notes here to say this every single time. If you're listening, you can actually watch me do it. Not sure why you'd want to do that, but, you know, if that's your thing, knock yourself out. If you're watching it, you can listen to it on your run, on your bike ride, working out. You don't have to look at me, so pick your poison. Just check it out at whatsyourproblempodcast.com. I am your host, Jim McCarthy, with jimmccarthyvoiceovers.com, and today, man, just a long overdue guest. It's been a while. We had to get you on quick. Mrs. Carrie Ann Sear.
Hello, hello.
How you doing?
I am good. I'm excited to be here. Yes, Jim, it's been a while.
It has been a while. We never get to talk anymore.
So now we're always going to talk. We're always moving and shaking.
That's right. And also producing podcasts on your end with the Talk of Music City Real Estate.
You do amazing.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me do that. I enjoy doing that with you guys. And you've come along such a long way in that. Such a great host of that podcast.
Well, it's been...
You're a natural.
You have helped a lot, you know. They say, if the more you practice, the more confidence you can create, right?
So, absolutely.
We've been doing it now almost 2 years.
2 years. Yeah. We're over 100 episodes in, which is a milestone for sure in the podcast world. I tell people in radio that 100 episodes of a podcast is about a month and a half of radio. Because they're doing 4 or 5 hours a day.
Sure.
But we're going to get things started with the random five, I was telling you before, just to get the energy rolling. Here we go. Random Five is brought to you by Kalioka Company. Carrie Ann, if you bought your car and it smelled like cat urine, that would really kind of rub you the wrong way, right?
You think?
Yeah.
And you don't like cats,
yeah.
Nor do I like urine.
And I'm allergic to cats.
Ooh.
Yeah, typically, I'm not a big fan of urine either. But cat urine is one of those scents that just does not go away no matter what you do.
Right.
Probiotic-based cleaning from Kalioka Company, man, they do a great job. They've got little probiotics in there that are hungry for that bacteria.
Oh, so they can fix it.
They could fix it.
All right.
Go check them out. Link is in the description. Here we go. Random five. I often have trouble keeping track of the questions because I was in radio and I can't count. Question number one.
All right. What do you got?
What should parents stop teaching their children?
What should parents stop teaching their children?
Yeah.
My goodness.
Good question.
That's a good question. I feel like we're always teaching them. What should we stop teaching them?
Yeah.
I don't know. What am I going to stop my kid? Now, I got a kid, so this is relevant.
I've got three.
It's a lot. I don't even know how you handle that.
It's a lot of kids.
So I'm going to stop her. I'm going to stop teaching her. I'm not going to stop teaching her my awesome dance moves. I'm not going to stop teaching her how to...
Well, what do you see maybe other parents doing that you'd be like, I wouldn't teach my kid that.
I feel like, I don't know, Jim, seriously, this is the question?
It's a random question. I would actually go about with, my answer to that would be, stop teaching them to rely on other people to sustain themselves.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I teach her to be independent already, so that's a good one. I'm gonna go with your answer there.
That answer is good. We'll go with that. Question number two.
Moving right along.
What's the weirdest conversation you've eavesdropped on?
Oh goodness. There's been a few.
Yeah.
But probably just let me just reference, the conversations I even have that we have with clientele, I am going to provide you these bank statements, but please don't tell my wife what is on these bank statements and make sure she doesn't see these bank statements. This is what I deal with.
I can only imagine what you must come across.
I'm just, and I don't try to look at the bank statements at that point.
Question right number. Question number three. What was the last slash best time that someone said something they thought you couldn't hear or understand, but you could? That's an interesting question.
I just, why are these questions not like pick
we can
A
move
or
on.
Pick B? Do I hit a pass?
Here's a good one.
No whammies. You I want to play the no whammy
pass.
Game.
We'll pass on that one. Why not? What do you wish you could tell yourself 10 years ago?
Oh, I wish I could tell myself to have a little more confidence and just go out and jump in the deep end.
Nice. Me too.
Yeah, because I would be a lot further in life if I did that.
We're gonna earmark that because we're gonna take a break after this, and then I'll come back to that because that's actually a really good topic.
Yeah.
What do you think you want to tell your current self 10 years from now?
I wish that I worked my rear off, but I also enjoyed during the process.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Meaning I had more time for me. And I'm just starting to implement that now, but it's taken a while.
Right.
I'm blind in one eye just now because of the chaos of my life. But, you know, thinking back, maybe I probably would always still be working, but I probably wish I started the bucket list a lot sooner.
Right. Question number, I think this is number five.
All right, what you got?
What's the hardest you've worked for something?
Yeah, you know, I think when you fail at something and or you choose to give up for something or give up too soon, the next thing you're doing, you're going to want to strive for and work really hard. So
right.
In my profession, it has been a long road. There's been some ups. There's been some serious downs. And I think over the last 8 years, I fought like hell to get me where I am today.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of been there for a couple of years of that. So, I mean, seeing what you've been through and everything.
Yeah. And now I'm just trying to ride a bike every 30 minutes a day. I swear each day I said that's the hardest thing I've ever done.
The Peloton?
The Peloton. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just a challenge for me because I turn a certain age here, come a few more months, and I've said, you know, why not? Why not try to do something I've never done
right.
and see if I can get a little stronger? So, we'll
and that's
see.
That's the best thing about doing stuff like that. It takes you out of your comfort zone. That's how you grow.
Yeah. And you would think riding a bike is an easy thing for some people, but right. not for all.
We'll take a quick break and come back with all things CA.
Haha, love it.
Henry Ford once said that if you need a machine and don't buy it, then you will ultimately find that you have paid for it and don't have it. Nothing could be truer about energy-efficient LED lighting in your business. At Big Dot Lighting, we can show you how a portion of your savings from a commercial LED lighting upgrade will be paid for in hardly any time at all. Until then, you're paying for them anyway. Book a no-cost lighting energy assessment with Big Dot Lighting. At least 30% of your utility bill is waiting to be saved. Go to BigDotLighting.com.
All right. So one of the things I keep on reminding myself, and it's always at the end of the podcast when we're taking pictures and walking people out, I'm like, crap, I forgot to ask this question.
Oh.
So I'm going to start putting it here.
Okay. I love it.
Surrounded in this room are Marvel comic relics, and it's my geeky side that came out of me 3 years ago where it came out of nowhere where all of a sudden it just resonated.
Okay.
And in my life, when I got to a certain age, whatever brings me joy, I just go with it, right? And that's just been my story. So I ran with it, and I really enjoy it, and it's my thing. And, you know, judge or judge not, it is what it is. So I started collecting these little relics. My family gets them for me and everything, so they really
I love
get
them.
Me. We've got the Mjolnir sitting next to you, which is the hammer of Thor.
Okay, I was going to say
people,
say that five times fast.
Mjolnir. Stormbreaker hanging up there, which
right.
is the axe that he developed in Infinity War. We've got Cap Shield behind me. We've got the Eye of Agamotto, which is right here from Doctor Strange, and the Nano Gauntlet behind me. So I'm going to say your shield, your Cap Shield.
How'd you guess?
I just a wild guess.
Yeah.
I know you though. I'm biased, so
that's a good one. That's what I was going to pick. Yeah.
Let's go with that. So, in the random five, we talked about what you would tell yourself 10 years ago. And it was one of those things where, okay, have the confidence to branch out and do more things that you know you should do.
Right.
But there was something holding you back, a mental block. I totally get that. But I feel like the last 10 years was also such a learning experience. Was that the same for you?
Yeah. I mean, I'll take us back 8.5 years ago. Right. I had my little one. I then was diagnosed with postpartum. And then 3 weeks later, I lost my job. So I was without a job. There was without income within our household. And so I will tell you that there was a crossroads of just giving up at that point. You know, for those that don't know about postpartum, and if your wife has ever had it, it is an alien that truly takes over your body and you can't function. The person that is truly a depersonality, somebody who is so strong and ready to rock and roll. Literally, I was wearing 3-inch heels till I gave birth. My expectation was I was going to work 3 days later. I left with my hair all dulled and ready to rock and roll, right? And then a few weeks later, I literally, an alien took over. So basically, I went from something to nothing overnight. And so in the business world, we have two options. We have an option of just giving up, right? And I've done that before. I moved to Nashville to pursue music, and I really didn't give it enough of a try. I was too scared at the time, too young at the time. And thinking back, you know, what would have happened if I was at the right place at the right time, you know, if I put myself out there a little bit more, maybe something would be different. And so I was really determined to be within the mortgage world to build something, you know, that could sustain me. And so, like I said, 8.5 years ago, what I thought I had went away really fast, right? And so I will tell you that if you have fire in your belly, if you truly want something, if you maybe want to prove to another that you still have it in you, because at the time it was a really negative and dark place for me. I had people stating, you know, and wanting me not to make it, spreading rumors that weren't technically true, et cetera, et cetera. And we're all going to deal with that in business. There's going to be competitors. There's going to be people that just, you know, want you not to succeed, you know? And so that was their opportunity to see me at my lowest point to really, hopefully confirm that I wasn't going to, you know, go the next step. And so at the time, it was the worst thing that ever happened to me. And then looking back, it was the best thing that ever happened to me, because I had to jump in the deep end. I had to figure it out really fast. And I was like, you know what? Watch me. Watch me, sister. Watch me. And I'll do this, you know? And so and it doesn't happen just because of you. It happens with surrounding yourself with like-minded people. It's helping. It's also asking, I need you to take my hand, and I need you at this moment in time. I cannot pull myself out of this hole, but I need you to help me and pull me out of this hole. And a gentleman at the time helped me do that. He gave me an opportunity, and it was the wrong opportunity, but you know what? He pulled me out of that hole, and he's kickstarted something in me that really said, you know, I can do this, and I can get this to be something big.
That experience, you were able to draw something out of it that really stays with you today.
Oh, yeah. Time. Yeah. I mean, we all want something. It takes something maybe drastic, something so memorable to kickstart it. We all have the fire. Something just has to light us, you know?
Right.
And there's only so much time in a day. There's only so much time in our life. You know, why are we waiting till tomorrow? We should totally just start it and do it now. And every day since then, that is how I've approached my business, and have approached, you know, the next step in my career.
Well, you're also one of those people on social that's very, you've got a lot of positivity. You've adopted the hashtag so good.
I see you
drop that everywhere.
I love it.
It's like me with my be them centric kind of mentality. I got to get that made up as a sign and have that behind me.
Yeah.
But, you know, and you put that out there, you have the quotes every morning. I see them. And it, you know, I look at them and it feeds me. I mean, it really, you know, you're one of those people that feed other people. You're just a bright ray of sunshine.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, but that's all strategic. I mean, if you go into learning business as a business owner, you know, our somebody said to me a long time ago, you know, our future's in hidden in our daily routines. And so I met and read the book from Hal Elrod about My Miracle Morning. And so every morning I do the same things for me. And one of them is trying to find something that's positive that will move me for the day. And I said, if I'm going to move myself, why don't I try to move another?
Nice.
And so at around 6 o'clock every morning, you know, I'm probably on my third cup of coffee at that time. But I then share what moved me for the particular day.
You're a massively high performer. What is your daily routine? What time do you get up and all that stuff?
Yeah, I used to get up really early, you know, 3:34.
Oh my God.
But my life has changed a little bit where I decided to, I can't do it all, right? I'm already, you know, blind in one eye due to just some stress in life, et cetera. So how can I figure out a solution and create a maybe hire more people so I can do more and do it really, really well, right? Maybe not as much, but less, but do that really, really well and possibly stay in my lane. So I've now moved to the five-ish time frame. That includes I try to read every morning. I'm not a very good reader, but I do force myself to do that. You know, look for the affirmation, something really positive that can kickstart me. I've implemented, you know, wellness, you know, trying to work out and maintain. My mom said, you know, you're over 40, Carrie Ann, you're going to have a heart attack here. You just focus on business. You don't focus on anything that's possibly working within. And so I'm focusing on that now. And so also I'm a mom, right? And so you've got to add, you know, getting your child up, feeding them, making sure they go to school, you know, every day. So, and I run a very successful and very high-paced environment within my organization. And so my day really starts early and fast. My assistants are texting me at 6 o'clock with the game plan of the day, and we're all just in it to win it. So I'm grateful for them.
And then, you know, but the so 5 a.m. is wake up time.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to bed, what time typically?
Yeah, my daughter goes down at 8, so I'm a good 8:30, 9 o'clocker. I'm an early bird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, so it's kind of one of those things. I feel better about myself already because I maybe get 5-6 hours of sleep at night, and then, you know, I'm just up and going. I just don't have a regimented morning. I do and I don't. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like systems. Things started really happening when I started creating consistency in my life. It helped me. I knew, especially being a parent, I knew at least she had to get up at this time, and she had to do this at this time, and I had to do that at that time. So then I was able to focus and create my schedule within her schedule.
Right.
So I have to be very regimented, you know. Not only do I have my own business, but I help support a lot of other businesses within our organization, you know, and I want to make sure I have enough time to be able to do all. And sometimes when you have a personality that you want to do for others, you forget about you. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important that we have to stop all to focus on us for just a hot minute. And so whether that's an hour before she gets up, you know, whether that's even, you know, 30 minutes, whatever you need to put in place, it's important that you at least have that for you. Because you'll wake up one morning and you'll be like, oh gosh, what happened?
Who am I?
Who am I? Yeah. Like, I have no direction. I have no clarity, you know? And so that seemed to help a lot.
What's the end game for you? Like the 5-year, 10-year looking out, you know, what do you want to do with CMG and stuff like that down the road? Is that going to...
Yeah.
Perpetual, you know, ownership, or sell, you know, it someday, or whatever.
You know, I'm was really blessed to be connected with a company that was out of California, and we brought them here eight years ago.
Right.
And we continue to build that up. Now, there's some people that have dabbled down the road of true ownership, and that's a lot, you know, for me. What I want to do is stay in my lane and really help as many people as I can. And so when I look down my path, my daughter's 8, so I have a 10-year plan, and hopefully that morphs into something instead of me, you know, baking the cake every day. I'm able to share and give and help others with the recipes that I've created over all the years, and maybe help them, you know, bake those cakes. Or my big passion, and it's on the bucket list, is I want to have an ice cream shop. This maybe happen. I do think it will happen.
But, you know, that's the thing is that, you know, the big audacious, big hairy audacious goal of things,
yeah,
the BHAG, right? For me, it's being in a tribute band.
Love that. Do you need a female singer?
Totally.
I'll totally come rock it out with you.
Yeah, you know, like I've always thought, you know, I was in a cover band in the 90s and it was fun, and you know, you're a musician, you're a singer, you know what it's like to be in the parents' basement and wanting to get out of it.
Yeah.
Now I want to build my own basement and get back in.
I know. Hey, Santa brought new mics to the house. Santa brought a new system. I was like, hey, I might not be out and about, but you know, that brings us joy. Mm-hmm. And when I'm the most stressed, I go upstairs and I'm singing from Pat Benatar to Lionel Richie, you know, to Kenny Rogers, you know, to them all. So it's a lot of fun. But you know, as business owners, and many of us probably that are listening are those. And some people don't even realize they're business owners. I think that's one thing that I train and coach on. You know, a loan officer, you are the business owner within a business, right? A real estate agent, you should be the business owner within a business, et cetera, et cetera. And we all have to think about that. But, you know, last year, it was a crazy year. Mm-hmm. I thought the world was coming to an end. I think that's actually when I got shingles again. I thought that the rates skyrocketed and then nobody's going to have a mortgage, and I wasn't planned. I mean, literally, you wake up one morning going, oh, I didn't know today was the last day. You know, I'd have no end or exit goal, you know. Yeah. And so you just become a crazy person and you start to do the tap dance and shake your tail feather, and you continue to get out there and you market and market and bargain. And all of a sudden, the floodgates open to a place where I was so overwhelmed that every system I created broke. Literally, it was bam, 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 bam. Like, it just completely broke. And I had to learn the hard way on what to do when all of this is here, and how do you handle customer service, and how do you, you know, handle the employees being so overwhelmed, and now you have a pandemic to deal with, et cetera, et cetera. So we worked through that, and it was a super long time. So now we fast forward to this year, and now I have all these amazing employees, and I recreated the systems. I threw out the business plan and I rewrote that. And now I am in a situation where the market shifted again in real estate. The inventory is low, right? So I have to employ so many people to talk to so many, but they don't get to the finish line. And the finish line is what creates the dollars, which creates the money to, you know, pay payroll, et cetera, et cetera. So it's one of those tap dances, you know. And so every morning I'm getting up and thinking about not just today, but tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. What if this happens? What, you know, how can I pivot as quickly as maybe I didn't do, you know, last year and or the first part of this year? So I think, you know, as business owners, we always are having to just recreate, right? And what was shiny and what got us here definitely sometimes won't get us there, you know? And so if I've got 10 years in it to win it, how am I going to maintain and keep the bar as high as it is? You know, I met a girlfriend the other day. She's been in the business as long as I, and she's like, I'm tired. You know, I'm getting tired. Yes, there's some of us that we can choose to be tired, or we can choose to possibly wake up on the other side of the bed, rejuvenate ourselves, find our why. Maybe it's a little bit different now than it was way back in the day, and get really excited about what we have left to do, you know, here, and how we can make a difference.
It's kind of like pivoting to find the joy in what we're doing. You know, because I mean, there's an element, even what we're doing here, sometimes it just isn't fun. It's a dirge. It's a grind. I mean, I talked to somebody the other day, actually the podcast I just put out today, we talked with him, Brendan. He's like, oh, we just got to get out there and grind. I said, you know the derivation of that term? I said, that's a slave term where people would actually push a grindstone to grind wheat down to, or grain and wheat into flour. Mm-hmm. And that was just a all day thing, just pushing this grind. I said, that doesn't sound like fun to me. Mm-hmm. I said, so when people say it's a grind, that's not fun. Why are you doing something that's not fun? I mean, yeah, it's fun if it's productive and it yields a ton of cash, and if that floats your boat, then great.
Right.
But I mean, if all of a sudden you know, I see you having fun in what you do. You find ways to have fun.
Yeah, I mean, life is too short. Let me tell you, I work my ass off, but I make sure to have a lot of fun doing it. And now, there are some hectic days, right? There are some things that I don't ever want to do again. And so you're like, okay, now how can I restructure that in a way that allows me to maintain joy within? And there's people that are out there that want to suck your joy, right? Yeah. Suck it out of you. Now, hustle, yes. But I'm like, do the hustle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm always meaning
the hustle's fun.
But I'm doing that in a dance move. You know, like people are saying this and I'm already like finding my groove and finding it to be fun. But again, if you want to be something, you want to go create something, you have to put some effort behind it. You have to put hard work in it. So yes, it does take those that are beginning to, you know, earn your keep, per se. Yeah. Like, I was the girl, I'm so grateful that when I moved to Nashville, I fell into the mortgage business way at the bottom. I fell in it where I had to, you know, do all the dirty work, per se, right? And I am so much better today because of that. Mm-hmm. It's quite amazing. But just kind of thinking back of people that I coach and train, they are newer into the industry. They want to be there. They want to go all the way over there. And they try to do that. And they run super fast. And they don't create the foundation pieces that I think are necessary to really sustain, you know, a solid business. And then they don't make it, you know. Yeah. And or going back to the tortoise and the hare, right? I mean, they're definitely the hare part of the business. And I always say, to me, I'm the fastest, slowest turtle you'll ever find.
Right.
Because I'm somebody that's going to stay the course, but I'm going to do it in a two-step kind of manner, you know?
Did you have that awareness in the beginning that you knew it was going to be like a 5-10 year kind of outlook? I don't think a lot of people have that. They see what's on Instagram. They see the instant success.
Well, yeah. I mean, I definitely would like to take the magic pill and make things, you know, as grand as it can be. But here's the deal. I remember being in a room and looking. It was an awards show, and I was the last person, the last table, way in the back of the room. And I saw people crossing, you know, the stage. And I said, you know, I just don't think I'll ever be that person. Like, I never really thought I could be, right? And so going back to what I wish I told myself 10 years ago, I wish I already believed in myself that I could be that, right? I probably would be on radio today if I thought about that for myself from even a music standpoint. There was this shift, like even 8 years ago, I did not believe that I could be any grander than I already was.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody was like, you need a coach. And I said, I don't need a coach. I know everything, type of thing, right? I mean, you have that little bit of that ego, you know,
little pride.
Yeah, a little bit of that until you go, you know what? I can do so much more if I was coachable, if I was open-minded, if I learned from somebody doing even more than I, right? And when that moment happened where I lost everything and I had the ability to step and take a step in the right direction for my growth and for my abilities, I did that. And I was like, okay, I'm going to grab you, coach. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to do that. And guess what? I do believe, and maybe I was trying to prove people wrong at the time, so maybe there was that extra little fire there. But guess what? I went from blank to blank. The next year, I was so close. I missed my goal by just $1 million. But the following year, I was like determined, you know, and you go and you go and you go. And now there are systems in place that I'm not trying to recreate the wheel all the time. My nose is down and I'm just working, you know, the system, and magic is actually happening, you know. Mm. And now I'm using my skill set to create new, to work, you know, on the business and really focus weekly on that versus I'll just wing it. Maybe I'll do it today or maybe I'll do it 6 months from now. You know, there's really strategy and consistency behind, you know, all of that from a business standpoint. So
I think actually, you know, I don't think the ship sailed on the singing, man.
We're coming back.
You know?
We're bringing it back.
You could. You never know.
Yeah.
You could just, you know, have fun, maybe songwriting, and then all of a sudden you write something cool.
Hey, you know,
you go and sing the demo, someone hears and say, well, let's have you do it.
I love it. You know, I'm in the real estate industry, right? And so there's so many musicians, ex-singers.
We're on here. Go figure.
I mean, yeah. I think it would be amazing. We need a band put together of all of us. You know, it would be one that would be quite entertaining. But, you know, I always say that I was blessed to I moved to Nashville to pursue music, and then I fell into an amazing career that has offered me so much more opportunity. And guess what I get to do? You know, I might not be singing on stage, but I get to now educate and or our little podcast, Educate and Motivate.
That's right. Yeah.
that's really what I get to do now, and it's kind of morphed into something that is quite enjoyable, and I enjoy it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, it could be funded now to a certain extent, and maybe that's the next phase, you know? I just don't think that ship has sailed. And it's like, you've heard me talk about pendulum before, right? The me versus we, and we're about to live through, I think, what is going to be 1943 all over again as the pendulum comes back down. Look at the music in the late 40s, early 50s, and maybe you just adopt that kind of stuff, because that will start resonating again.
Oh,
that nature of music.
There we go.
But with that being said, let's go at it. What is your problem? What's been keeping you up at night? It's always something.
You know, I think, kind of going off of what I just shared a little bit ago, I think my problem is heart and business.
Right.
Having a heart, but also maintaining a business. I think that gets confusing at times for business owners. Some of us are hardcore business owners, and they just don't give a shit what the next person's going to think and or if it really hurts that employee type of thing. So right now, with the market shifting, you know, I've got some amazing people that are
all... You
really do. They're all in it to win it. I think we're up to over 50, you know, employees. And I never want to have to let anybody go due to circumstances that are out of my control. So right now, the market shifted. That's, you know, that is technically out of my control. But I just don't, I'm going to have to just bust a groove and figure out another opportunity to maintain and keep the numbers where they need to be, so I don't have to let anybody go. You know,
what shifted? Is something recent that happened?
Well, I mean, yeah, the inventory was lower. So, I mean, like I shared last year, we had so much volume because interest rates were low, and everybody was buying a house, that we. The volume was so much that you had to, you know, employ more people. And now you have these, you know, great people that are working for you, and possibly the sales staff that you have is not as motivated anymore, or the real estate community is not selling as much that you had the connections with, right? And so those numbers have shifted in a way. And so, and how about, you know, when in regard to the margins of mortgages, those compressed, right? So all of these things are happening, and you know, having the heart and also, you know, running a business, it's that finding that middle ground that's a huge win. And so for me, I started saying, you know what, I know that I can trust me, I can trust my work ethic, I can trust my abilities, and so I'm going to go find more opportunity for us and the branch so we can stay motivating. And I'm not saying we're at all you know, hurting, et cetera. But I will say that as a business owner, if you run a P&L, you know that when certain numbers hit a certain thing, you have to shift overhead, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just how it is. So that's one thing that I work on. And I think I'm a mom too much, you know, I'm much of a heart. So I started driving an hour north, back again, an hour south, an hour west, an hour east, and just trying to create more opportunity, you know, going back and asking for second chances on opportunities that were lost previous, and rebuilding and recreating. So I think that's one thing as a business owner, that's what we're doing all the time. You know, we're just coming together. So yes, sometimes what keeps me up at night is what's else is going to come our way that's going to shift, that's going to force me to have to pivot, and is my pivot going to, you know, be fast enough and or creative enough to be able to keep us going.
Vaynerchuk talks about that. He calls it actively thinking of how he can put himself out of business.
Yeah.
And you know, he puts himself in the shoes of other businesses that see what he's doing, and what would I do if I were them? Mm-hmm. You know, put VaynerMedia or whoever, VaynerSports out of business.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the same mindset you're talking about, especially when it comes to, I love it when I hear business owners and professionals talk about the people who work for them, because those who are not in that role may not understand that not only are you responsible for keeping the business moving, but you're also feeding families. to a certain extent.
Yeah, and you're also helping them get to whatever level they want to get to. So right. I have employees from all stages of life, all ages. And so, you know, some people come to me and say they want to be me when they grow up type right. of thing, right? And how amazing is that to hear? Because you're like, I just do what I do. But they look up to you, right? And so in that case, if you're ready, I will show you what's required to be successful, right? Right. And, you know, they finally get out of the pool and I push them right back in, you know, and they finally swim to the side, they get out and I push them right back in. And we constantly, you know, do that. Some people say I'm hard to work for, but I will say everybody and anybody who's ever worked with me has left in a way that they know more today than they did yesterday, you know, and we have a lot of fun doing that as well. So I'm just not going to give up. There's one gal particularly in our office that, you know, a lot of people think are going to fail. And I said, it's time for us to prove them all wrong. Mm-hmm. You have every opportunity to be as successful and or more successful than the other people that are in this field. And I believe in you and you need to believe in yourself and let's do this, you know. And so she's doing amazing, you know. And another wanted to step out and grow out of her ops position and kind of be like me and get into sales. And it was a scary transition. You could see it, you know, the white knuckles, you know, on making that decision, and super proud of her. She is, I know for a fact, she will soar and do amazing things. And so I love that part of my job, where I do now have a little extra time to be able to pour back into those who are in it to win it, who truly don't see this just as a career. They see something more that they want to do to give back to their community, and also possibly take their income level to whatever. You can do whatever. There was back in the day, I thought if I could only make so much money, my life would be different, right. You know? And to think back, that was only so many years ago. And that has been able to be hit multiple times and over. And people say more money, more problems. There's a song, I think, written about it, you know? And somebody says to me, you already hit this level. Why do you need to do more? Why did you need to do more? Well, you know what? I'm able to do more because I have more, meaning I'm able to give back to the people that gave me opportunities. I'm able to make my mom have as much fun as she can while she's you know, rocking her years. You know, mm-hmm. She battled cancer, not for the first time, but the second time, and that scared the living crap out of me.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to be able to have some time, and so I'm excited that I'm going to be able to spoil her and some other fabulous ladies here with a 5-star trip to Cabo. I can do that and give back to them because how hard I worked. But I will say, my mom also taught me way back in the day, going into 10 years old, when she gave me that babysitting bag and said, you're going to learn to have a job. Mm-hmm. Cannot imagine me at all hiring a 10-year-old to watch my kid, you know, but I did that back in the day. But she would take 50% of all my money.
Cool.
Always.
And just for your own benefit.
Right. Not to for herself. Right, but she taught me about a savings account. And to mm-hmm. this day, I take 50% and I move it. And that allows me to have a savings, reinvest. And then I have play money that clearly, you know, I like shiny things and fancy things. And but I am able to save and also do that. So and then give back, you know, to our community and also do fun things for others. I think that's fun.
And the thing is, and you know, I know you and I know, you know, spending habits and things of that nature. You drove an SUV for like, what, 19 years or something?
Cars are not my thing. Yeah. So everybody has their thing, right? Mm-hmm. And again, people think half the stuff I'm wearing came from Target. This is not real, you know. I just like shiny things. I mean, it's totally fine. But I will say that I did drive my 03 truck all the way until, you know, my employees were like, hey, so my car's better than yours, you know, and can we just use my truck and not yours, you know, that type of thing, to go to this event. And so I drove it all the way until the front door literally fell off.
Nice.
And I'm now on my second. And to think back that I paid full price for that car, you know, so long ago. And so cars are not my thing. But, you know, you find what works, you know, works for you. So
what I appreciate about you is that there's a vulnerability that has come out in the last couple of years that you're willing to just put out there. And I love that.
I'm over 40. That's what they say. Over 40. Yeah. You don't give a shit about anything anymore. You know, I mean, you just be you.
In your 30s, I mean, and I get that. But I mean, was it kind of like, oh my gosh, I can't put that out there. What if I do? Was that holding you back? Was that a...
Yeah, you know, what you talk about so good. I mean, I like to have a lot of fun.
Right.
Some people might call me obnoxious. It's fine. Some people call me a hard ass. I've been told it all. But I... you know, when I started allowing people to see my drive, when I started allowing people to see my silliness, when I started allowing people in a little bit more, you know, I had so much more given back, you know, meaning it was a huge welcoming. It would allow me to really let my hair down and just be me. My shoulders just dropped. I was able just to not worry about, you know, am I looking the right part? Do I have the right, you know, suit on, et cetera, et cetera. You know, mm-hmm. Jobs teaches us, you know, simplify a lot of your world, right? I mean, if I like a shirt, I buy it in 15 colors. I'm a simple gal. I'm just going to keep it going, you know? Jobs wore, you know, black, you know, turtleneck for all of his years, you know, and if I wish I could do that. It's a little hut in Tennessee, though, to do that, yeah. So I got to change it up.
But. I've been shopping a lot of Tractor Supply. I mean, it's they've got great deals.
Hey, I mean, I like Tractor Supply.
Right?
Yeah.
I like
them all. You know, and here's the deal. When I teach and coach, it's not about how much money you spend. People spend money and don't move the needle. It's not about that. It's about the effect that provided with whatever, you know, it is. So it's not about the dollar sometimes, right?
Yeah.
So when I get gifts, it's about a meaningful gift for another. It's not about how much money I spent, you know, for that particular person. I train that with loan officers. You know, they feel like they have to, you know, do all of this and spend all this money. No, it's just about the right timing and the right, you know, memory that you're able to capture with another. So
I'm gonna set you up for a little bit of a presentation here, because I know you've become known for the second opinion, you know, the last chance effort to get people paper hung on mortgages and things of that nature. For anybody starting out in the mortgage industry, Carrie Ann's organization is tremendous for launching pad for a career, not only because you'll be massively fed as well, and surrounded by positivity, encouraged to reach out to your inner circles, but you're also going to have an edge in the fact that, hey, if you've been turned down or you're having challenges closing on a loan, talk to us.
Yeah.
Right?
And I'm blessed because that was my background. You know, I worked with a lady who her second language was English. So a lot of the stuff that she and I had to work through was putting pieces together. And so I learned operations. I learned guidelines a long, long time ago, right? And now they change. But again, it's just scenarios. And really what I do is I follow my gut a lot of the time,
right?
You know, but I have been, that's one thing when I was starting out, I was like, hey, just give me a chance. You know, if you get turned down, I'm here to possibly help you. And the answer may still be no, but why not try? You know, my mom always taught me, never accept your first no. I've moved it on to never accept your first no, your second no, possibly not your third no.
Yeah.
If you really wanted to be a yes, maybe there's a way. And there's a solution possibly that we can figure out. And so I now, to this day, you know, 15 years later, I'm still doing that, right? And it's now turned into one of my specialties. And we're able to close loans as quickly as 8 days. And people are like, oh, yeah, right. But I'm able to truly be... I'm confident. I put my shoulders back. I said my actions match my words, you know, and I'm never going to tell you something I can't deliver. And so actually just before I came in today, I was working on one that needs to close in 8 days. So and possibly we average 15 loans a month, but just my personal team just on that. And now I'm seeing some of my loan officers that I help support and celebrate and encourage. They're out there with the confidence to go ask for a second chance. And now you think, oh, Carrie Ann, you're helping all the people that have bad credit, or you're helping all the people that really aren't worthy of loans because they were told no. Understand that, if just a little insight of all mortgage companies, There's some direct lenders, which means they go directly to Fannie, Freddie, and Ginnie, which is your government loans. Then you have some other lenders that are correspondent, and they are selling somebody else's product, right? And so that particular lender may have overlays to what the norm is, right? Mm-hmm. And so since we are a direct lender straight to the agencies, we don't have that as much, which gives us more opportunity to really help the buyer who has the ability to repay. And that's really what's important, making sure that we give loans to folks that really understand the importance of what they're about to walk into, which is getting a mortgage, and also set them up for success. So huge win. But yes, always honored to help those that are in need.
The articulation and clarity that you just explained, that is one of your strengths, and it always has been, especially when it comes to educating people about credit.
Yes.
And listening to you, when you and Monty talk about credit repair and how to boost your credit score, those are fascinating episodes. I know you've tried the, you know, doing your own podcast thing. How is you're looking and getting the time to do that and all the different topics?
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're talking about. There's how many hours in a day? What? 20?
It's
what?
Like 28 or something we're up to at this
exactly.
point.
I mean, there's just not enough time in the day. And I have a lot that I want to do, and I have to prioritize that. And right now, I'm not going to be any good if I don't take care of me for my daughter and anybody else. And so, right now my priority is just focusing on making sure that I cross off the things I put in place for me.
Yeah.
And then my family, you know, and my employees and the customers that we have, and then I'll start adding, you know, onto that. And I'm right now I've decided to take every other Friday off. This is something new.
Nice.
I listened to a podcast that says a 4-day work week, right? Well, I was like, whew, that's a lot, you know. I mean, real estate goes and goes and goes. And so when I say I'm taking every other Friday off, it's not actually off totally. It allows me the ability to create, to listen to other people's strategies, and gives me that time to really focus on what could be. And maybe I dabble into, you know, hiring your wife or something else, you know, to be able to have a little peaceful time with a massage, or possibly, you know, get our nails done, et cetera. But really, I've enjoyed that over the last 60 days. It's allowed me to stretch my mind in a way that I see a lot is about to come down the road. So good stuff.
The business, one of my business partners here, John, he paints a great picture. When we start getting concerned, though, oh my gosh, we're not selling, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
He says, you got to realize that businesses have to breathe. You know, there's only so much you can exhale. Coach Burt, he's a retreat to attack, right? You know, and that's something that's very important. It sounds like that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah. I mean, and everybody does it their way, right? I mean, you can fly off to do something or this or that. I mean, they say staycations. It's literally just me not being able, I don't need to drive all over Timbuktu.
Right.
And I've put systems in place that allow me just the ability to pause and maybe not be at a tempo that is as fast as I usually perform every day.
Which has changed drastically for you. So like you said, the past 60 days. But coming across that realization, it sounds like, I really appreciate the fact that you are putting yourself first.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, there's women my age that, you know, have a heart attack very fast, you know, and I have to focus on that. But I also have big dreams. I also know that there's so much more in me that is ready to shine, you know, out there. And so I do have goals that I want to hit, and I'm excited for the opportunity to do that. But if we don't give ourselves enough time to think about how we can go to the next level, how we can raise that bar just a little bit taller, I don't think we would ever do it, because we're just in that, I call it the squirrel wheel. What's it called?
The hamster wheel.
Squirrel wheel.
So, same thing.
You know, or the treadmill. You're just constantly running it around, and you're not getting off of it, right? And so you have to force yourself off. Like, there's some days that you and I have things that are happening that don't allow us to do what we put in place on the plan of the day, you know? And sometimes you just have to jump off, pause, get what you need to get done, and then, you know, get back on. Because, you know, when you run a business, it will take you down a road, and it'll keep you taking you down there unless you have enough strength to pull it back and get it back in line. So I've done that. I've had the situations where I've been pulled down this road or that road, and all of a sudden I wake up going, how the heck did I get here? You know, and it was because I lost control. And so maintaining a little bit of control, not only for yourself, but for your business. They talk about barriers, right? It's healthy barriers are okay, right? Know what you who you want to work with, what type of business you want to do and maintain. And you'll find, like, I like luxury, but I don't market to luxury because I know that that's a lot more that I don't have. I have to stress about that. That's I don't want to stress about that. I want to memorize a product and a loan that I know that I can do with my eyes closed, and I can do it two steps, and that's conforming loans, right? Mm-hmm. And so I stay in my lane. I know what I'm going to do. But some people get up and they're like, I want to do this and I want to do this. And, you know, electricity becomes this, this, and this, and it's totally fine.
Shiny objects.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you're dabbling into all these different things where if you just focused on one and you were super good at that one thing, how much more could you do, right? And so when I started narrowing it down, to specialties, yeah. Which really is the save the days, which is really anything from, you know, $150,000 to, you know, 586.5, because that's a conforming limit, then I have made sure that I can do really, really amazing things, you know. Mm-hmm. And again, I'd love to help those other people, but I do share and communicate to them that possibly I'm not the best person for this or that. Out of the 1,050 families we served last year, my team and I, possibly 10 of those were over, you know, a certain loan limit. So, you know, it's just something that when you find your lane and you practice it and you just really become so good at your craft, amazing things can happen. So,
well, I mean, you also have the ability to be an influencer at some point, you know, and building that aspect of it. But there's like a bane of creativity that comes along when you start taking, I call it like the creativity begets more creativity. You get more ideas.
Yeah.
The more ideas you pursue and execute on, the more ideas you get. And then you start feeling FOMO, fear of missing out. What if I don't pursue this idea? And that's where you start going down that rabbit hole.
Oh,
right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, but creative, that's the fun part, you know, but then it's the execution.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people that are busy, real busy,
mm-hmm.
and they're just keep talking about it and they're talking about it. And we've now on the third week talking about the same thing. Right. And so I'm a big believer in, if you have an idea, you have by tomorrow to execute on it. Like, I literally create and jump in the deep end and throw it out there, and then I'll figure it out. But perfection was one of my things back in the day, and it really paralyzes you. I mean, it does. It makes you not perform ever. Like, you just don't do, because I'm worried about what you're going to think of me. You know, I'm worried about, you know, how does this, you know, look, or how are they going to perceive it? Ba, 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 ba. And you constantly, all of a sudden, somebody's already ran three miles around the block before you even took one step, you know? And so I've learned that, you know, 70-75% is good to go. We're going to launch. We're going to be fine. We're going to move it forward. You know, even when you and I started, you know, with our stuff, I was like, you know, I'm just going to let it go and be and let it create, you know, something to what it is today.
So. Did I actually speak into your life?
Oh, you're saying all this
nice stuff?
I love it. Yes.
I had no idea.
There you go.
Sometimes you just don't know if what the things you say are salient. You know, I mean, when you know, as you, when you coach people, sometimes you don't just know if it's not coaching, but sharing conversation,
mm-hmm.
if things really hit them and absorb, you know what I mean? So it's nice to know that sometimes your words landed right.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, but sometimes they don't. And
yeah.
Sometimes you have to be really blunt. And I'm grateful for the people that were really blunt in my life. You know, I'm grateful for sometimes them just telling me how it is, you know. And sometimes that's employees. Sometimes, you know, that's referral partners. You know, I've gone through enough marriage counseling to know, you know, that each partnership, you know, is two, right? It
yeah.
takes us both to communicate and really work through, you know, anything and everything if you both want it, right? And what I'm saying is, you know, employee to, you know, manager to referral partner to, you know, business to business, et cetera. So, you know, I think good stuff. I've lost my train of thought there.
No, I think that what you're going, just basically...
You took me down the marriage lane, and I'm like, Lord, take me back, bring me back.
it's that having that awareness that, look, maybe I don't know it all. Maybe in the car business, we called it, when you're green, you grow. When you're ripe, you rot, right? And that thing you talked about when you first got in the business, why do I need coaching? You know how many times I've heard that from other car salespeople when I worked in the business? And I would say, do you mean to tell me that an hour that this guy spent with us in the conference room, there's not one thing you could pull from that? How's he going to tell me how to sell cars? I've been selling them for 20-some odd years. Dude, even going over the fundamentals sometimes, that little onion layer can be pulled back and you go, oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
You know, we can learn each and every one of us. I mean, look at where I ranked last year for females, you know, in my industry, you know, top five, right? And so for purchase units, people think I'm kind of a big deal in my industry, right? Yeah. But I will tell you that I work to try to learn something new, one thing each day.
Right.
One thing each day, because you become relevant. I mean, you know, we giggle about the, is it Jeffrey the giraffe or whatever? You know, the picture.
Toys R Us.
Yeah, the picture of him with a suitcase, you know, like that person was all that, you know, until, you know, Amazon came around and, you know, they weren't up to par, right? And so you've got to be always on your tippy toes. And if anybody gets to a level of success and doesn't think that there's more to learn, just like you said, they're going to fall out.
Yeah.
You know, you look at 08, you know, so many people just went under for with businesses and builders and just success. I looked at them as huge successes, you know, and life changed so quickly, right? And so how do we think about what tomorrow could be, right? What could I do today to just plan for something that, you know, possibly could happen? How could I have thought two steps ahead always? You know, I have these chess pieces in my office, the big chess pieces about what's my next play, what's my next move, go, thinking. I train that in regard to the mortgage business. Like, don't just accept this. Think about, while you have this, what's the next thing going to be asked by an underwriter? Or, you know, if you do this move, what is that going to, you know, cause, you know, the reaction to? So you've got to be always thinking two steps ahead with everything that we do.
I'm coaching the guy in the next room. His name is Kyle. He's brand new to sales. He's carrying the ball for our Octave product, which is the full color RGB LED lighting system that you can take a look at, octavelighting.com. But basically, never been a salesperson.
Right.
So it's been fun to kind of coach him, and it's, you know, hearing the words land and be salient in his life has been very refreshing. But it's definitely one of the things that I've been able to impart to him is like, dude, every time you reach out to somebody, you got to have something, right? It can't just be a generic follow-up, you know?
Oh,
stuff
right,
like that.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I think if we figure out, back in the day, I was never going to be in sales.
Right.
I just wasn't going to be in sales. And it's interesting, if we think about, we're not in sales, we're serving, right? We're giving. The more I started shifting to that salesy deal and more just give, I started not chasing the rabbit anymore. You know, I was being chased type of thing. People were coming for more. They were coming for the knowledge, the confidence, the trust. They were coming for something. And I was enabled to be a shift there, which I think turned my sales position, which technically we are, into something so much more, I think, for us. So the folks that are just looking transactionally, you know, you just have to shift that mindset. You know, it's not about the next sale. It's about the opportunity you had to bring that deal from start to finish in a way that wowed them. You know, the quote, I think you referenced one, but another was, you know, satisfied customers will bankrupt our business. You have to create such a wow, such a memorable experience that it just wasn't so-so. It was okay, no big deal. They need to be wowed. And if you have not wowed them at the end, you have the last few minutes to do something memorable. So they think of you next time when they need a light, or next time, you know, that they, you know, need to buy a house and or, you know, get a mortgage, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, these are things that it takes time to understand, because I do think our why, when when we start any business is, oh my gosh, I need to make a dollar. You just put me on full commission. And if I don't sell this, I'm not making my rent payment. So I do coach and teach people that we do need to already have a little bit of money in the bank, because if we set ourselves up where we're just going after the dollar initially, that's possibly all that we're going to be doing. But if you have some money in the bank to really do it and set it up the way that you're providing more, you're giving more, it may take a hot second more to get that transition and move the needle to turn. But when it does, just so much more is coming at you, and you're able to make, you know, so much more. Money's not going to be a concern at that point.
Well, that was my experience in the car business. That was, you know, getting in there with my back against the wall. Mm-hmm. And as you had to make, you know, find a way to do it. But one thing I can't attest to is when you finally got your bearings and got some traction, when you were relaxed and just, man, we're just having a good time.
Yeah, and know your craft, though. Like, the other day I talked to a group, and I won't say what group, but I asked them, name all the types of units within your industry. I'm just speaking random because you'll know what I'm talking about. And nobody could. That was a group of 15. Mm-hmm. That made me very nervous, right? As in, you want to be top in your sales for your profession, and you don't know all that goes on within, right? And so anything that we're going to do, if lighting it is, you know, real estate, or, you know, selling sodas or whatever, like, know the ins and outs of all of it. Take a second and actually learn it. You know, that's one thing that I think has really allowed my business to skyrocket is, I'm ready. Where's Mortgage Jeopardy? I'm ready. No whammies. I got you. Your five questions confused me, but if it came to mortgages, mm-hmm. I know those inside and out, and I know to go left when this says go right, you know, and because I train on it, you know, and there's reason why, you know, bodybuilders look the way they do compared to us. They put the energy and the time into their craft, right? And I, being top in my field, put a lot of energy and time into our craft. So, you know, just as a little reminder out there, you know, we can have successful businesses for this reason or that, but the people within really need to understand the why they're doing it. I told them to do this, so they did this. And then I asked them, why are you doing that? And they look at me going, well, I don't know. You just told me to do that, right? Yeah. And so my new approach is teaching them the why behind every move, and kind of putting all the fundamentals together and creating a dance that will really last. So
it's showing them the context of, yeah, it's the Mr. Miyagi Danielson. Wax on, wax off.
Well, to me, it's so funny. I was going to hire a dance instructor to come mm-hmm. to the office, because I'm like, why are you doing the tango and you're doing the waltz and, you know, you're doing the Bunzarola? And I only know about the Bunzarola because I did the Bunzarola, you know, when
you
Lonnie,
did Dancing for, with the
Stars. Dancing
star,
yeah. with the Nashville Stars. That was a lot of fun. I will say that was the hardest thing I probably ever did.
Really?
Wow, yeah. I mean, I dance on every wedding, sober to drunk, you know, I have a good time, you know, 3-inch heels, always. I'm like rocking it out. And then you say, I'm like, yeah, I can dance. Bring it on. And, you know, the way you have to hold your body and, you know, your elongate, you know, the arms and the neck and the this and the that. And it was, if you saw the video of that time, you could see where my face lit up because I hit the move finally, because I was missing it every time in the practices until the time. And I always say I'm a fourth quarter gal, you know, you always make it right at the last second there. And it worked out, but it was an amazing experience. So if you ever want to be challenged, go into ballroom dancing and be in a contest to try to win first place. But I think I did take amateur first place or something like that.
Yeah,
that day. So that
I
was
remember
a, that was a good time. But going back to the dancing, you know, there's a reason why he brought me back to the box step when I went to dance, the box step. And then the next class was back to the box step. And I was like, I'm over the box step, dude. Like, let's keep moving here. I got like, when do we like move our hips and stuff like that? And it kept bringing me back to the box step. What I'm saying is there's fundamentals in everything that we do, and we have to layer them, right? And if we want to just jump to, you know, this versus understanding the base or the fundamentals, we're probably not going to be as successful. And because you kept bringing me back, I was able to have that base. So I was able to always go back to that in every, you know, position and move that we made. So it was good stuff, but it is a challenge to take us and force us to be beginners. You know, I saw a quote today, an expert in anything was once a beginner, right? So you have to really be okay not knowing even the age or where we are. It's okay to be a beginner at something, you know, and learn the right way, and be accepting of that. So I love it. And so your Kyle guy teaching the box step
That's what we're trying to do. It's you know, it's overwhelming him to the point where it's like, look, it's okay to be overwhelmed. I appreciate the fact that you want to eviscerate yourself every conversation you have with a client, because I believe that trains muscle memory with how you talk and how you present. I said, but eventually you're going to realize those are tools you put in your toolbox with the sales process. You're going to know what to pull out and what to put back. I said, dude, 5 years from now, you're going to be a monster salesman. And you're going to be completely different when you are now.
I love it. Right? You love it. And you have to talk to more people.
Yeah.
I was, bring them on. Because I'm going to mess up 9 out of 10. But that 10th, I'm going to be more confident. I'm going to have my script down. It's going to be good. But if I didn't practice in the first 9, you know, it wouldn't work out. You know, video. They talk about do video, right? And so you find that the people are discouraged to do it. They don't know how. They're not feeling comfortable. Well, who says you have to release the video? Just keep doing videos, you know, and tape them and have them and be and build that confidence level, you know, and amazing things can happen when we do that. So,
and a lot of it, I tell Kyle this morning, actually, what you're doing is somewhat of a performance. You're on stage.
Yeah.
And people get better. Actors get better. Voiceover talents get better. You know, even Rich Redmond talked about how he played in front of a mirror.
Right.
So he can look at his mannerisms and how he performed. And his chops were there. His foundation was there. But he's like, hey, I want to build the house, but I want to put an addition over here. So the addition's going to be me riding that bell with a ride cymbal like this and looking like, Robert De Niro. But he talked about that. And I said, Kyle, you got to start recording your calls. Listen back to them.
Huge.
Pick up on the little nuances. How confident do you sound? Are you stammering? How well put together do you think your thoughts sound? All that stuff. And I said, it's stuff I wish I did when I was in the car business. I said, but I got to tell you, even in voiceover, 23 years in, I listen to everything. I listen to every single podcast episode that I do, because I'm not there yet.
Yeah, you know,
and I don't know if I'll ever be there.
Oh, you're amazing. But you. I hear you in the middle of the night. Why do I hear Jim in the middle of the night? It's the infomercial on my TV, and it's Jim. I'm like, I know that voice. It's
if
you.
You were a loved one.
I mean, exactly. But, you know, going back to, I study a lot of YouTube videos, not for the product, but for the presenter. How did that presenter present? How did he move the stage, right? Like, what did she, you know, say that was an icebreaker or this or that? Or how did you bring in your audience, right? How do you make the person on the other side of the phone really accept you, bring you in, versus just shut you out right immediately, right? And there's a lot that goes into that. And so hearing other people, and getting ideas from them. I mean, the best idea is a stolen idea. Now, you don't want to copyright it, et cetera, but I'm like, I love how you did that. You made me feel more comfortable. I should add that, right? Or I should possibly say this word versus that word. You know, it's a little more inviting versus, you know, something different. You know, there's a reason why Chick-fil-A says it's my pleasure, where other places are like, no problem, yo, no problem, you know? And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I send my employees to buy me a very calorie-filled milkshake that is quite divine at Chick-fil-A.
They got great milkshakes.
Good. So good. But to hear the customer service, it does not matter if that kid's 15 or 40, they're saying the same thing, right? And so I actually invited the guy that created their whole customer service and created their training manual to the office. You know, right. You can hire them out. It's just amazing. You know, how do you get people to provide a customer server that's memorable and consistent, right? And not like another. But there's a lot, you know, that goes into it. But hearing this, I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. All my daughter's like, Mommy, why are you taking pictures of Dunkin' Donuts? Why are you taking pictures, you know, at this store or that store? I'm like, I like that. Let's take a picture of that. I like how they made me feel in that marketing piece, or they caught my eye, you know, and I might have purchased blank, you know, if I buy this marketing. So how can I recreate that marketing in my everyday marketing? You know, if it worked for a donut, maybe it'll work for, you know, a mortgage. You don't know. But
absolutely.
At the end of it, it's all the same. You know, Coca-Cola is a perfect example of, you know, sharing stories. You'll probably notice in my marketing now, I share a lot of stories.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I heard that facts, you know, tell what stories sell. And so why not bring you into my everyday? Because guess what? You might experience that same situation and you're like, she can help me, right? And actually, before I got here, I was writing another one about something that we just were able to do. You would be amazed at half of the stories that are going on, the things that people are going through, right? And A, you might just like it for entertainment, or B, you might remember that when it comes and crosses your path, you know, later in life. So,
something that resonates. All we want to be told is a good story. Yeah. At the end of the day.
Yeah.
That's why we watch movies.
I know.
Read books.
I know. I'm really into Hallmark lately. And I cry. And I'm like, dreamy-eyed. Where were you 20 years ago? Type of thing.
Who are you gleaning inspiration from these days, and who's kind of pouring into you?
You know, I love Amy Porterfield. I don't know if you know her, but she is a gal who worked with Robbins for years and created, and actually she's now a Nashvilleian. She moved here, but she is one that helps you build businesses online. Mm-hmm. Has nothing to do with me, but business is business is business is business. It does not matter what we're selling. There's a beginning, middle, and end for all businesses, right? And so I've learned a lot from her. I take a lot of inspiration and ideas from her. Donald Miller is great. He's one that reminds me about the story and simplify things. We get so overwhelmed because we want it to look so pretty, but no one even knows what you're even talking about. Right. Like, your artwork is so super pretty, but what does that even mean, right? And so he's been able, reading his books and listening to a lot of his podcasts, I've been able to really understand what story really means. And then on my Peloton, you know, new venture, it's Allie Love, that girl right there. I don't know how she looks fabulous. She wears, you know, makeup and sweats. She doesn't sweat at all, I swear. But she's really something that is reminding me on my motivation. So if you see my post about Peloton, it's really ideas that she's brought. You know, if you want to quit, she goes, quit. Go ahead. You'll feel what it feels like to be a quitter at that point. You'll never want to quit again, right? I mean, she's somebody that's just not going to tell me what I want to hear. And I love that. Plus, she pushes me to hit levels that I didn't think 25 days ago I could ever hit. Because I will tell you, every other second I was yelling at her. She didn't even know I was yelling at her, you know, because it's on a recording. But she's somebody that's great, too. But, you know, I don't really follow anybody from a mortgage world. I think I can learn more from other businesses. So I really try to focus on, you know, folks that have ran successful businesses, and I allow those ideas to be to fuel mine and really help my business.
Because at the end of the day, they're all human ideas. I mean, the idea that we talked about, the second opinions, I kind of stole it for our heating and air division here at Big Dot with Mr. Mark Cox taking the head of that. We put out a little just announcement to Spring Hill and starting here locally and small, saying, hey, you know, a lot of first opinions are happening. Let us provide a second one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he kept on talking. He says, I'm giving a lot of second opinions. I said, let's run with that.
Yeah,
that's
why not?
That's a category.
Yeah. I mean, you might have to do a little extra work. I mean, it's hard, right? It's hard to strip things down and put them back together.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, the lady, Miss Vicky, that we're closing here next week, her payment's $150 lower. She's bringing $6,000 less and putting $4,000 more to her principal because I chose to strip it down and put it back together. It was the right thing to do. So mm-hmm. It was hard work. I always say it's easy to say no. It's a little harder to find a solution and create the right path for a consumer, you know. So I like that part, you know. And I my daughter's a big puzzle. She's the puzzle queen. She's more out of puzzle princess and moved into puzzle queen because she mm-hmm. now does these puzzles. But it's putting the pieces, you know. I love the problem solving. That's probably why I loved Murder, She Wrote back in the day. And then that went to Law and Order. And I love all those mysteries. I think my next life will probably be a detective or something, you know. But I love creating solutions. And that's really what I do daily, mortgage solutions for folks. So.
Do you go back to those TV shows and rewatch them?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've watched every Law and Order episode, you know, there is, and every Criminal Minds episode, but I can't find Murder, She Wrote. But yeah, she's one. Columbo, you know, I think mm-hmm. I've seen that one come back on. But I used to love those as a kid, you know, all those.
It's like
mysteries.
Old Friends, right?
Yeah, I never was into Friends. It's funny.
Well, it's like visiting old friends.
Oh, yeah.
You know, The Office is like that for me. Drives Courtney nuts, but you know, she's like,
oh, The
know,
Office, yeah.
She's like, we've seen this
stapler.
Whole thing through.
I've got my stapler. What's that?
Office Space is the movie,
oh.
But The Office with Michael Scott and all those guys. We rewatched that. I think I've been all the way through 15 times through 9 seasons.
Yeah, you know, I love all the business shows. you know, I'm not a big TV watcher, but I am when I'm ready to zone out. It's going to be The Profit. It's going to be Million Dollar Listing. It's going to be, you know, shows that the Shark Tank. I want to be on Shark Tank one day. I've got to put that in the schedule. Not sure what I'm going to create to get me on Shark Tank, but that's what I want to do one day, someday. But, you know, you see the people like having the courage to get up there. I mean, that right there makes you say, you know what? If they can do it, I can do it. And so those are some, I love that they have those business shows out there.
Who's your favorite shark?
Oh, well, I like them all, but I don't really have a favorite. They're all sharks, though. Yeah. I mean, they're all kind of hardcore, you know? And I walk the fine line of that. But Barbara, you know, she is just a classy lady. And she's a hardcore business lady, but I like them all.
Nice. Very cool. So you're getting, how do people find you and follow you and all that fun stuff? Are you looking, you're always on the lookout for new agents as well as any recruitment opportunities for people to come on board?
Yeah, if there's new loan officers that are looking to learn it, you know, a different way, I teach it a different way. And you're looking to, you know, elevate your business. We provide a lot of coaching. I've been blessed lately that I started coaching loan officers from Maine to Hawaii right now and really helping, you know, give back some kind of dabbling in to see if I'm really going to enjoy that part, which I have so far. But absolutely, if there's agents out there, real estate agents that have not yet had the opportunity for us to get to meet, I would love that because, you know, I believe that really great real estate agents, you know, need that go-to lender that can provide them that trust, right? Just provide them that on-time and friendly service. And so you might have your bestie, which is totally fine. Keep your bestie. Mm-hmm. Keep the friend there that you do a great job with. But having somebody to go to for the just in case, I'm always welcoming those opportunities.
Of course. Of course. And mymortgageteam.com?
It is... our website is mymortgageteamapp.com, and people can apply if they're looking for a mortgage and or looking to refinance. You can go there. So it's mymortgageteamapp.com, and you can start it. And you can always reach the team here at mymortgageteam@cmgfi.com. So we're always available, and our phone number is such a fun phone number because why wouldn't it be a so good number.
That's right.
It's 615-456-4456. 615-456-4. Wait, is it
4456?
456-4456. 456-4. Get your drumming techniques out there, Jim. I love it. So, hey, this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up and make sure you check out Carrie Ann. Follow her. You have your Instagram handle is
I think it's
Mortgages by Carrie Ann.
Yeah, I think that is. Yeah.
And you were looking to possibly do just Carrie Ann or CA at some point. Have you made a designation on that or?
Yeah, you know, my last name is funny. My last name is Sear, and I get Cry, Sire. I get everything but that. So right. I've dropped my last name, and right now it's Kirian and my mortgage team. You know, why not? Cher does it. Why can't I? Type
Oprah,
thing.
Own why
it.
Not?
Own it, exactly. You know? Throw the confidence out there. But, you know, we'll see what ends up happening, you know, down the road. Technology, again, I'm over 40, so social media, I'm as good as it gets on Facebook, you know, and the girls, my millennial folks that work at the office, they take what I post on there and put it on Instagram. So I need to get a little better at that, so I'll be honest with you.
TikTok.
Oh, Lord. You know, my
TikTok's right up your alley, singing, dancing, all that
stuff. I know, Lord. I just stick in my lane, I'm going to say.
Well, right on. Check that out. Check us out. What's Your Problem Podcast?
Love it.
.com. If you want to like, subscribe, rate, review, give us a 1-star, 3-star, 5-star. Anything we'll do at this point. I mean, I sound like I'm begging. But I mean, you know, it's tell me if you hate me. Yeah, that's fine. Reach me out. What's Your Problem Podcast.com.
I love it.
Thank you so much for coming out. I appreciate it.
Yes. Thanks for having me. This is a lot of fun.